This was a very, very interesting sermon to write, especially this week. And what I'm about to tell you is really true, because I am sometimes the king of denial. And so Tuesday evening, my wife and I went out to dinner to try and relax and just totally forget about the election. And during dinner, I said to Patty, "Man, I am so glad I don't have to preach this Sunday following this hate-filled election." "Oh, no. Oh, wait. I do have to preach on Sunday following this hate-filled election." So on staff Wednesday, I told that to Bill, and he suggested that perhaps it's the very reason God has me preaching on giving thanks. God's kind of funny like that, isn't he? Two young men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they were not going to make it. Terrified, the one man shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We are really in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never said a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to say at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Saw that and had to use it. Scripture passage this morning comes from Luke 17:11-19. It is known as the story of the 10 lepers, also known as the 10 healed lepers. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, stopped and came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we unpack this passage, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts bring you joy. Amen. There are many stories in the Gospels that talk about Jesus healing people. This particular passage is not one of them. True, he did heal some people in this story, but the real point of the story is how the healed people responded. All 10 had enough faith to do as they were commanded. They were obedient. By telling the 9 lepers to show themselves to the priests, Jesus was telling them to begin the process that would allow them to rejoin the worship and the life of the Jewish community. Their full status as part of that community would be restored. For the one leper, the Samaritan, there was no such promise. Even cured, he was still a foreigner. He was marginalized, an outsider. One commentator suggests that because of his status as an outsider, he was able to see his healing differently. For the nine, the priests were the way back into society, a way to move back up the ladder, if you will. Because the Samaritan was not looking at the next rung up the ladder, he could see something the others missed. Instead of seeing the healing as a step toward improvement of his own circumstances, he saw it for exactly what it was, a miracle from God. His response? Gratitude and praise. As one commentator put it, "Forget the ladder. Jesus is healing people. Look what God is doing." In the healing work of Jesus, the love of God was both present and powerful. It reached beyond the boundaries of clean and unclean, healthy and unhealthy, and even the boundary between the Jews and the Samaritans. When the Samaritan recognized God's powerful love in Jesus and then returned to give thanks to Jesus and praise God, that was when he was made truly whole. Shall I say that one over again? When the Samaritan recognized God's powerful love in Jesus and then returned to give thanks to Jesus and praise God, that was when he was truly made well. Out of the ten, only he was made whole spiritually. He was saved when he saw himself as whole and correctly identified Jesus, not himself or the temple, as the source of his restoration. His faith, as expressed in worship of God, enabled him to find peace and well-being in his circumstance. Now, it is here that Luke is connecting the things that make up Christian worship, thanksgiving and praise, with the restoration of health. One commentator put it this way: we are reminded by the Samaritan's actions that the ultimate place where we can cry out to God, receive mercy, and be transformed is the church, the very place where we gather to offer our thanksgiving and praise. I'm going to butcher this name, but David Luce, in his commentary writes that Martin Luther is said to have defined worship as the tenth leper turning back. Really interesting way to think about that. Many of you know about the Westminster Catechism. It's a document used for teaching primarily. Its format is one of questions asked and then answered. The very first question, what is the chief end of man? Us, humans. In other words, what did God put us here for? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That is one of my favorite sayings ever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Another way I like to say that, we are never more what God made us to be than when we are in worship together, giving him thanks and praise. Thank you. I like an amen once in a while. In his book, Head First, The Biology of Hope and the Healing Power of the Human Spirit, Norman Cousins shows that if you are a person that is full of hope, a very positive person, your brain actually creates neurons that become new pathways to that hope. Conversely, if you are not full of hope and you are a negative person, your brain does the same thing. Your brain creates neurons that create new pathways to that negative place. So might I suggest this morning that if we are people full of thanksgiving and praise, the same thing will happen? Our brains create neurons that become new pathways to that thanksgiving and praise. Man, we're hardwired for thanksgiving and praise, aren't we? Every morning, let's choose thankfulness and praise. And as we choose and practice thanksgiving and praise, clearly it does get easier for us to do. New pathways. Think of your circumstance. You think your circumstance is too dire for thanksgiving and praise? You might think that. With practice, we can learn to see blessings in everything. For instance, regardless of how you voted, I think there is certainly one blessing in this election we can all agree on. Thank God it is over. We can forgive each other for how we voted and get back to being the kind of people God calls us to be. That deserves another one. We can forgive each other for how we voted and get back to being the kind of people God calls us to be. Amen. To that end, I suggest for starters, that those of us who share on Facebook, let's soften our posts. Let's make them a little kinder than they have been this last few months. And I'm not only picking on us Facebook people. It's just one of the places I encountered us not being very nice to each other. This morning, I am calling us back to the center, myself included. Let's choose and practice thanksgiving and praise. Many of you have heard this story from me. I use it again with permission. Thank you. Most of you know that Jim Thatch threw a clot that landed in his speech center that subsequently landed him in the hospital with difficulty speaking. A hospital stay that ended up some 17 days in length, if I'm correct. On my third visit, Jim and Jana were not in his room. They were out walking the halls for exercise. A really great sign. When they returned, they shared with me how amazing the visit with his family had been the day before. His sister drove up from San Diego, picking up family members, including his dad, along the way. Not so remarkable on the surface, until you think about the fact that his sister and dad had not spoken in at least 20 years. Not only did they get in the same car, their office visit lasted 3 hours. In the midst of an incredibly horrible situation, Jim and Jana were able to see the amazing blessing in it, the restoration of relationship between sister and dad. And the really cool thing is, the more you and I practice at it, we will see blessings too. How do we practice? It's easy. It's really easy. First, choose thanksgiving and praise every day. Start by saying thank you to God for someone important in your life. Then go tell the person you are thankful for them and tell them why. Write a note. Make a call. How about the old spiritual discipline of listing your blessings and naming them out loud before God? Or saying one thing you were thankful for around the dinner table every evening? I know, those seem a little lame in this day and age, but they work. Why not bring them back? Dad used to pray geographically for the family every night as he was falling asleep. He called each of us by name. He would start in our house. He lived with us. Then up the street to my sister Rachel's house. He would go south to my daughter Christy, then to daughter Mary and her family. From there to my brother Steve and sister Becky and Rach's son Will. He then went east to Arizona for Rach's other son Rick. Then it was north to Santa Barbara and his brother Sky and his family. Then to Oregon for my brother Dave and his family. On to Washington State for grandkids and great-grandkids. Then over to Spokane for my wife's family. And then to parts east. We were never sure how far he got before falling asleep. He faithfully prayed for us every night as a way of giving thanks and asking God's blessing upon us. What a wonderful way to fall asleep, huh? Try it. See if it works for you. We sing a second service song with a line in it that speaks of God. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. That's all I can remember now. Gifts from God come in all shapes and sizes. Each breath of air, a drink of water, every bite of food. The Alleluia. Oh my goodness. Every note of music. The smile from Ella Rose or Noah or Hunter or any number of children who run around here. A newborn, the hug from a spouse or a close friend, a helping hand offered, all that and a million more things, all wonderful, amazing, good gifts from God's generosity. I challenge you to pick some each day and give thanks. I guarantee you, if you do, thankfulness and praise will grow in you. Become more a part of who you are inside. So working on this sermon, I did not have time to do laundry as I usually do. My wife took it upon herself to do it. It took her most of the day. I thanked her the next morning for the clean underwear I was able to put on. Clean underwear. I'd call that a good and necessary gift from God. A good and necessary gift from God. All good is of God. Nothing that is good exists without God. And I think that might be worth an amen and a thank you, God. Working on this sermon has also resulted in a lot more thank yous in our house. Go figure. When I say it out loud and thank God for my wife, our relationship is better. And that works both ways. I simply feel better when I am in a thankful state of mind and heart. If you read the church newsletter this month, Pastor Bill wrote about 8 benefits we each get from being thankful. Thankfulness refocuses my perspective. Thankfulness increases my humility. Thankfulness builds my faith. Thankfulness changes my despair into joy. So true. After church, ask Jim and Jana. Thankfulness changes my priorities. Thankfulness challenges my wants. Thankfulness breaks the shackle of envy. Thankfulness enhances our compassion. Who of us does not want to live this way? This morning I say thank you, God, for all these benefits that are part of living thankfully. I close with a quote from our Presbyterian Directory for Worship. And to answer your question, yes, the directory is real. You know us Presbyterians, everything decently and in order. The quote describes our Christian journey as it relates to regular worship. And I quote, "As they respond to God's claim and redemptive action in Jesus Christ, believers are transformed and renewed. In worship, the faithful offer themselves to God and are equipped for God's service in the world." End quote. Jesus commands to get up and go, and to take our newfound wholeness and our faith out into the world, bearing witness to Christ the healer through a life of gratitude. Wow. We respond to God's love by bearing witness to Christ the healer through a life of gratitude. Amen.